If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org. If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. The House will vote again next week on yet another bill to repeal Obamacare. House Majority Leader Eric Cantor announced the upcoming vote today, tweeting that the law, quote, keeps getting worse. The White House, however, says that technical aspects of the law are coming together. Officials announced today that they are making data available on how much hospitals charge patients for certain services.
By making this data available, we're allowing everyone to see huge variations in hospital charges across the country.
White House Chief Technology Officer Todd Park told reporters that the increased data is just one example of how the law will help healthcare consumers. House leaders will also vote this week on a so-called pocketbook measure aimed at giving working Americans more time off from their jobs. The Working Families Act would allow employees to choose how they want to be paid for their overtime, in time and a half cash wages or as time and a half paid time off. Democrats, however, say the legislation would reduce employee earnings by ending guaranteed overtime pay. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
Hi there. Welcome to Radio Free America. Duke Brooks is my name. My number is 718-305-7176. This is the ConservativeNationRadio.org Internet Radio Network. I realize that is a contradiction in terms, but we do conservative radio right. We are real conservatism for real conservatives. Thank you very much for being along for this edition of Radio Free America. Jeff Holtzman, who delivered news at the top of the hour, Jeff told me that his dad yesterday had been taken to the hospital with serious kidney pains. You know what? I can relate to that. I can absolutely relate. I've had three kidney stones, and let me tell you something, they are a bummer. Now, that being said, I mean, seriously, the pain involved in a kidney stone is it's intolerable. I mean, literally, it is intolerable. And I have mentioned this to a couple of ladies from time to time who generally say, oh, it can't be as bad as childbirth. All right, well, my cousin Joy has had daughters, and she's had kidney stones. I asked her which was worse. She said the kidney stones, hands down. All right, so anyway, I rest my case. You don't want that. And when I heard that Jeff Holtzman's dad was in the hospital, and I communicated to him my best wishes, and he told me that his dad had pains in the kidney. Apparently, in Mr. Holtzman's case, it is not kidney stones. But Jeff was back with us today. He will not be on tomorrow or Friday. We do have a couple of changes that are coming up. A temporary one tomorrow I'm going to tell you about in a couple of minutes, and a permanent one starting on Friday concerning Christopher Manti. He's moving his showtime, but I'm going to fill you in on all that stuff. And I'm glad that you're along. Now, as you are aware, today was a very, very big news day in this country. I was shocked and surprised that MSNBC actually carried the congressional Benghazi hearings that took place today. And, I watched all of the networks this morning. I watched Fox primarily. And if you are a conservative, you probably do as well. because Fox does not, you know, some people, I remember on one occasion having a wonderful lunch with a great lady whose name is Diane Downey. And at the time, this would have been 1999, Diane Downey at the time was the vice president of sales for Channel 9 WUSA TV in Washington. And I was talking to Diane, and I then spoke subsequently with the general manager of the television station, or as they say at big TV stations in big markets, the president of the station, who was a lady that was younger than I was. And that didn't make me feel all that great, to be honest with you. I was like, oh, man. You know, at the time, I think I was 44, and it looked to me like that lady, whose name was Artie Dirks, if I recall correctly, she looked like she was maybe 40. But in any event, Diane and I had lunch on the Wisconsin Avenue in Washington. We went to a Mexican place down the street. And at one point, she talked about Fox News, and she said, those guys are so damn conservative. Now, first off, if that did not confirm the idea that at virtually every level in American television, even in a local market, D.C. is a big TV market, no question about it, but and obviously it's a very important one, but at every level in this country, television is staffed and run and operated and agenda-driven by liberals. There isn't any question about it. So after Diane said that to me at lunch, I said, you know, Diane, most of us who are involved in the operation of aircraft are generally conservative. And I said, I always knew one day you and I would have this conversation, but I didn't want to dwell on the political issue for too long, because I wanted that television station to get a helicopter, which I wanted to operate and fly for them. Something happened in 2003. Maybe I'll touch on that. Okay, all right. Here, you know, this is an ongoing discussion. You don't just show up at a TV station and say, have helicopter, we'll broadcast. It's they want to make sure that you're the right person. They want to make sure that you know what you're doing. They want to make sure that your aircraft is the right one, that you know you can do everything. It's not something. This is not a career field that you can simply enter coming right out of. There's no such thing as the what's your major? Oh, I'm studying broadcast aircraft operation. No, there's nothing like that. You can study broadcasting. You could, even at a lot of schools, you could get a degree in aviation, but there's no curricula that I've ever heard of. And since I wrote the book on this subject, literally, I think I would have heard about it by now, that you can study them both and then go out and get a job. That simply doesn't happen in any event. Flash forward to December 15th, 2003, and I had gone to the opening of what is known as the Udvar Hazy Wing of the National Air and Space Museum. Now, I remember going to the National Air and Space Museum in Washington in about the first week of July of 1976, just about 2 weeks or so after I got my private pilot's license in a light airplane. And I took my cousin Michael with me. At that time, I would have been almost 21, which means Michael would have been about 11 or 12, 10 or something like that. He's 9 years younger. How much is 20 minus 9? It's 11, is it? Yeah. Boy, am I glad that my girlfriend Linda is here, because she can actually count. You know, I've always said there are three kinds of people in this world: those who can count and those who can't. I'm one of the ones that can't. But in any event, we flew to the opening of the National Air and Space Museum in Washington in the first week of July of 1976. Now, if I recall correctly, Michael Collins, the astronaut, the command module pilot from Apollo 11, was the director of the Air and Space Museum, and they opened it 2 days early. They opened it on July 2nd, 1976. It was supposed to open on the 4th of July. Then President Gerald Ford referred to the museum as America's birthday present to itself. I believe it is the most visited museum in the world. And it's part of the Smithsonian. It's right on the mall. You can, from the north windows, you can see the U.S. Capitol. I mean, it really, even if you're not particularly into flying or aviation, the National Air and Space Museum is really something. All right, so in any event, let's see, flash forward a little more than about 27 and a half years to December 15th, 2003, which was 2 days prior to the 100th anniversary of the Wright brothers' first flight. So I went to the opening of the Udvar-Hazy wing of the National Air and Space Museum at Dulles Airport outside Washington in Loudoun County, Virginia, or whatever county in Virginia it's in. I don't know. All right, so I got there. I was in line. The museum was supposed to open at 10. I think I got there at 20 after 9. I'm standing in line. It's cold and nasty outside. And the doors open, everybody applauds, there are a lot of guards, there were a lot of Japanese media there. And they were there because the Enola Gay, the B-29 that dropped the first nuclear bomb ever used in combat in history on Hiroshima, was preserved in that museum. And we all got in, I'm walking around, and I had There was a guy by himself except for his two kids. And the guy, you know, he looked to be about 35 or something, and he had maybe a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old. I don't even remember, but one of them pointed to an airplane and said, "Dad, what's that?" And the guy didn't know. The parent didn't know. All right, so he's not an aviation guy. Okay, all right, fine. And I said, "Well, excuse me, that is a French airplane from World War I called the Newport 17. And then the other kid pointed at something and said, "What's that?" And I said, "Well, that is an X-15. You know, I mean, I'm an aviation guy, all right? I'm a pilot. I've been flying since I was a kid. I used to fly a helicopter every day for 4 hours when I was a kid. And these people are just kind of following me around. I'm sort of doing my own kind of impromptu guided tour." And then all of a sudden, I hear voices raised. I hear shouting. And someone had gone up to the Enola Gay and had thrown a container of red paint at the Boeing B-29 Superfortress. And they launched a protest. There were people who had coordinated this. They had planned it. The Japanese media was there. You know, Japan, very interesting country. They still, to this day, will not admit to themselves or to anybody else that they were the bad guys in World War II. And they were the bad guys in World War II. And I have a tendency to, and these people, they were all Americans that were protesting. They were calling our country a bunch of fascists, baby killers, murdering berserkers, horrible, inexcusable, and all that kind of stuff. And I've got to be honest with you, I don't go for that, okay? You don't burn my country's flag. You don't insult my country. I can't stand it. I can't stand it. I'm sorry. And I really, really lost my temper with one of these guys. And I was, at one point, I was screaming at the top of my lungs at this guy. And the protesters were trying to drown me out. And then other people came in on my side. Nobody came in on the side of the protesters. And lo and behold, there was a videographer from Channel 9, and he got me on tape. And obviously, they recognized me at Channel 9 because I think I'd had a meeting with Artie or Diane or somebody there about 2 or 3 weeks beforehand. But anyway, I didn't get the gig as Channel 9's television news helicopter reporter pilot. And oh, well, you know, what are you going to do? In any event, listen, I mentioned earlier that we had a couple of changes to bring to your attention. You know, every Thursday night at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, you want to be right here at conservativenationradio.org to join former U.S. Navy SEAL Carl Higbee on his show, The Sound of Freedom, with Hig and Resch. Now, you've probably seen Carl on Fox and Friends. He is the author of the great book, Battle on the Home Front. And he is, of course, an outspoken critic of the Obama administration. Liberals can't stand him, primarily because he's right. And that alone means he fits right in with us right here. So listen to Sound of Freedom with Carl Higbee and former Navy JAG attorney Guy Reschenfaller, Thursdays at 7 Eastern, 6 Central, right here on conservativenationradio.org, conservative radio done right. Now, tomorrow night, Carl and Guy will not be on our air tomorrow night. However, Sound of Freedom is going to be on the air, and it will be hosted tomorrow night by the indefatigable Barbara Buffing and Mike Smith's partner from Soldiers of Patriotism, Bing Fisher. Some of us call him Uncle Bing. So you've got to make sure to tune in tomorrow night at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, for The Sound of Freedom tomorrow night with Barbara Buffing and Bing Fisher. It's going to be a real riot, as it normally is. In any event, we're going to take a brief break. When I come back, I thought we could talk a little bit about Benghazi. I will finish up the long-winded and absurdly complicated, convoluted story about liberalism in the media, and then we're going to talk. So you stay right where you are. Don't go away. More of your calls and everything else coming up.
You must be your fairy godmother.
In the classic fairy tale, Cinderella's dream comes true because the glass slipper fits.
It fits.
In our world, the right fit can be just as important.
Good heavens, child. You can't go in there.
Especially when it comes to car seats. Always choose a car seat that's the right fit for your child's age and size.
Oh, that does make a difference.
To make sure your little pumpkin gets there safely every time.
Happy to see you. Thank you.
Remember, you're responsible for protecting your children. Their happily ever afters are in your hands. For even more information about choosing the right car seat, visit safercar.gov/the right seat. This message has been brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared.
Prevent your child's next asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. Visit www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many. Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
Penny Lane, there is a bar.
To try rooting for your own damn country for a change.
Absolutely, no question about it. That is a question that I ask my liberal friends all the time, and generally they just don't have an answer. Why don't they root for their own damn country for a change? It's coming up on 20 minutes after the hour. This is Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. Conservative radio done right. Duke Brooks is my name. 718-305-7176 is the number here. I was talking earlier, you know, and my train of thought, if you can call it that, Generally, I go all over the place. I'm sorry, but that's just the way I am. There's nothing I can do about it, I don't think. Anyway, I had mentioned earlier at the top of the show that I was certain that the liberal media was going to do whatever they could to downplay and poo-poo the Benghazi scandal, and it is a scandal. I mean, if there are four Americans who lose their lives and there was no reason for it at all, and the administration is just saying, oh, wow, man, that's a bummer. So anyway, they say it may rain. That's the response. That's the scandal. All right. So flashing back to about 1999 or so, and Diane Downey, who was a lovely person and a very, very smart broadcast executive, no question, had made the statement that those guys at Fox News are so damn conservative. That is not the case. I can tell you very definitely that is not the case. Fox News presents their news objectively. And the normal liberal bias that so many Americans have come to expect from the leftist media in this country is simply absent from Fox News. That's why people think they're conservative. Their editorializing is conservative, but the difference between Fox News and the other liberal news networks is that Fox News generally draws a line between their news coverage and their editorial presentments. That is something that the other networks do not do. And that was on display today. Fox News at 11 o'clock this morning went to the U.S. Capitol. They were live. They were covering the Benghazi hearings. There were the three United States State Department employees, Hicks and a couple of others. I forgot their names. I watched a lot of it. I listened to an awful lot of it. This is basically what, I mean, the timeline is complicated. As you are aware, Benghazi is, I guess it's the second largest city in Libya after Tripoli. Tripoli is kind of on the west coast of the Gulf of Sidra, and Benghazi is on the east side of the Gulf of Sidra near, I think it's Cape Benghazi or something. Anyway, on September 11th last year, we have a consular office or a diplomatic mission in Benghazi. As at virtually every consular or embassy office this country operates anywhere in the world, we had a CIA station there. You think for 1 minute that the Brits don't have an MI5 office in every embassy that they, MI5 or MI6, at their embassies? You think the Russians don't have, you think the Israelis don't have a Mossad office? Of course, we have a CIA station in every embassy, almost every embassy that we have in the world, there's no question about it. And our consular office in Benghazi, as you will recall, there was a CIA building there, and on September 11th, this past September 11th, 2012, Ambassador Chris Stevens and three Americans, security people, two of them I think were former Navy SEALs, were attacked. And there was a riot, looked like a riot. It was actually a terrorist attack dressed up to look like a riot. And all four of our guys, over about a 5 or 6 or 7 hour period, were killed. And they called for support, and they didn't get any. And the next day, the White House began spinning the attack as, well, you know, this guy in California put out an anti-Islam video, and that's what made them so upset. And then the following Sunday, September 11th was a Tuesday this past year, UN ambassador, the American ambassador to the UN, one Susan Rice, apparently not related to Condoleezza Rice, because Condoleezza Rice is a genius and Susan Rice is like stupid. But Susan Rice famously went on five of the Sunday morning talk shows, those Sunday morning shows, and she began saying that this event took place because this Israeli guy in California was making an anti-Islam movie or video. It got out on the internet. The Egyptians got mad, and now the Libyans got mad, and that's why this happened. Well, that turned out to be a bold-faced, absolute lie, and it was nothing but a bold-faced, absolute lie. And I think most people paying attention to all this stuff 8 or 9 months ago realized that that's exactly what it was. And eventually, not more than a week later, she got caught. The White House got caught lying. Hillary Clinton was then called into the Congress to testify. Apparently, then Secretary of State Hillary Clinton lied under oath. That's not good. That is something that, apparently she and her husband both think that this is something that you can do and you can get away with it. And I think that she got caught this time. And that's probably not a very good thing for her. However, there is no question that the liberal media is going out of their way to poo-poo the idea that we could have responded to it in time, but the Secretary of State gave orders that we were not to respond to it. And those four guys died. 718-305-7176 is the number. It is coming up on 28 minutes after the hour. Duke Brooks is my name. This is Radio Free America. Thank you for being along this evening. So basically, we have a couple of very, very high officials in our country who lied about what happened at Benghazi, and it became pretty clear that they were lying. Last week, there was a fellow who had gone on Fox News, a former U.S. Navy SEAL. I mentioned Carl Higbee and Guy Reschenthaler a short while ago. Carl was a U.S. Navy SEAL. He is no longer in the SEALs. President Obama doesn't like him. So, the president had him basically drummed out of the Navy, which is the stupidest thing in the entire world. And Carl is a great guy. He's a really great guy, in fact, and so is Guy Reschenthaler. Guy is a former Navy attorney, as I mentioned, and he is now running in Pittsburgh. I've never been to Pittsburgh. He is running in Pittsburgh to be a Pennsylvania Commonwealth magistrate. He's a lawyer. I hope he wins. In any event, Guy has a campaign appearance, apparently an important one tomorrow night. But here was a guy on Fox News, and I think he was talking to Adam Housley. I think it was Adam Housley. And he was in blacked out profile. His voice was distorted so that nobody could tell who he was. And he said that there was a unit of U.S. Marines stationed either in Italy, which is directly north of, it's right across the Mediterranean, that is apparently is called C-110. And this is a special unit of seriously special U.S. Marines. And they could have been there, apparently, in 2 or 3 hours. And they were told to stand down. There are other U.S. Special Forces people in that area, they were ordered to stand down and not to come to the relief of the Americans who were in the process of losing their lives in our consulate in Benghazi. And it seems very clear that Hillary Clinton lied about this. Susan Rice lied about it. Carney, the president's spokesman, lied about it, and I believe that the president has lied about it, too. It is the bottom of the hour. You know, speaking of the leftist media, they would love it if conservatives like us were to come to the conclusion that we're just a few lonely voices out there in the wilderness all by ourselves. But look, don't be fooled. Americans that identify themselves as conservatives outnumber liberals by 2-1, according to a whole lot of polls, even those that are taken by liberals. If you respect traditional American values like I do and like we do, there is a place for you to call home on the internet. It's traditionalamericanmovement.com, or TRADAM, as we call it here at CNR. TraditionalAmericanMovement.com is the place where real conservatives can meet up. No turf wars at TradAm, and find out what's new in the conservative community. So join up, find out what's happening, be a part of the conservative revolution, all on TraditionalAmericanMovement.com. That's www.TraditionalAmericanMovement.com. I do hope to see you there soon. And TradAm, incidentally, is a liberal-free website. That ought to be enough to get you interested right then and right there. Anyway, it is just about 22 minutes before the hour. Going to take a quick break. More of your calls are coming up. Stay right where you are.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Hello, this is Robin Zanner.
Hello, this is Rick Nielsen from Cheap Trick for Rad.
Some people think it's fun to drive drunk, but that's unacceptable.
Be smart. If you drink,
don't drive.
Think ahead and choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives, and so should you.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
Listening to Duke Brooks on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Absolutely. Welcome back, one and all, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, as Claude Kirchner used to say. It is about 26 and a half minutes before the top of the hour. This is Radio Free America. This is ConservativeNationRadio.org. I am Duke Brooks, and 718-305-7176 is the number. Thanks very much for being along. We have been talking a little bit about Benghazi. Mike Huckabee, the former governor of Arkansas, now he's a radio and Fox TV host, he believes that Benghazi may lead to Obama's impeachment. We should only be so lucky. I actually have some thoughts about this. I'd like to hear yours. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America. I think that the liberal media in this country is going to do everything that they can to prevent the president from having any consequences whatsoever of his not only failure of leadership at Benghazi, but his dereliction of duty and what I think is something like criminal negligence on his part. in not taking whatever action was necessary to defend the lives of Ambassador Chris Stevens and the three security people that were with him in Benghazi. Apparently, two of them had made it up to the roof of the CIA annex, and they were taken out by terrorists with AK-47s and rocket-propelled grenades and mortars. And Hillary Clinton, a few weeks ago, a couple of months ago, in her first testimony about Benghazi, when she was asked, why did you say it was over a video when all the evidence that you had at the moment made it clear that this was an organized, pre-planned terrorist attack? And do you remember what she said? She said, what does it matter? It just, I've got to be honest with you, it just it makes my blood boil. I can't be alone in this. I know for a fact that I'm not. I also know a couple of things for a fact. Number one, the media is going to go out of their way to cover for Hillary and for the president. I also know in the top of the second inning at Camden Yards in Baltimore, Kansas City Royals nothing, Baltimore Orioles nothing. But I digress. The Orioles are in second place now. They're a game behind the Yankees in the American League East. In any event, Benghazi, if the U.S. Congress does, if the House of Representatives does nothing, first off, unless somehow the Senate is taken over by the Republicans a year and a half from now in November of 2014, they would actually take office in January of 2015, the president will not be convicted. It requires a two-thirds vote of the Senate to convict the president. And under the U.S. Constitution, even if they convict him on charges of dereliction of duty, failure to discharge his oath of office, etc., the only thing that can happen to him under the U.S. Constitution is he gets thrown out of office. The fact of the matter is, if the president committed murder and he was impeached, tried, and convicted of committing murder while he was the president, the only thing that could happen to him is he would be removed from office. That's one of the protections that the U.S. Constitution gives. And when I think about the fact that Gerald Ford issued a pardon for President Nixon, I always wondered, why is he doing that? They can't convict Nixon of anything. Anyway, 21 and a half minutes now before the top of the hour, 718-305-7176. Today and yesterday were a couple of pretty serious news days. Are you following what happened in Cleveland, Ohio, day before yesterday? Three women who had been kidnapped when they were minors by these Hispanic guys of the last name of Castro and kept in the house there basically as, you know, as sex slaves for 10 years. I'm not sure what to think of the Cleveland Police Department. I'm not sure what to think. I don't know if they did their job. I don't think that they did. They probably thought they were doing their job. They probably tried to conduct, a series of detective operations, and they probably pushed what they thought were all the right buttons. I'm sure they did. I will absolutely give them the benefit of the doubt. But it seems to me that somebody needs to kind of tune up that office, that police department, a little bit. I simply cannot accept the idea that for 10 years there were people locked in this house, and the neighbors didn't know about it until the day before yesterday, especially Charles Ramsey. Dude, I'll never forget that. You know, that interview is probably going to go down as one of the, you know, most bombing TV interviews of all time. Dude, check this out, right? I'm sitting there eating my McDonald's, right? Then I came back and I'm eating my little meal, right? And then I see this woman at the door, right? So I go over to the door, right? Dude. And I mean, that was, I thought the interview was tremendous. What is going to happen to the Castros? Well, I think it is just about certain that at least one and maybe two or perhaps all three of them, they are now where they are going to be for the rest of their lives. They are behind bars now. They're going to prison. They are not going to get out. Apparently, there seems to be reason to believe that they had kidnapped a fourth girl that they may have murdered. It seems that some of the other women in that house, at least one of them, by the last name of Barry, apparently she was raped and had a baby. She has a 5 or 6 year old baby by this guy Castro, and apparently the other girls also either gave birth or had stillborn children, and apparently some of those children are buried in the backyard. They are looking in the backyard. They are going to go through that house with a fine-tooth comb. The chances are very good that the house is going to be demolished, like John Wayne Gacy's house. You know, they eventually took the whole house down. But, you know, sometimes these just utterly and completely heinous crimes take place, and the people that do them seem to get away with them for a long time, as these Hispanic guys did. And I just wonder, you know, what do we do to put our foot down about this thing? What, you know, what on earth, what else can we do to make it absolutely clear we don't tolerate this sort of thing? I just don't get it. It's about 17 and a half minutes now before the hour. You know, we're having a great time here at conservativenationradio.org, and it should be pretty clear that the switch is on. People are listening to us. If you have any doubts, you've got to check out our Saturday show with internet radio veteran Robert Garding. The New Wise Conservatism Show is now on conservativenationradio.org every Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central. Robert has been hosting the New Wise Conservatism Show for years on the internet. He's got a big following, so if you listen up Saturday, you'll figure out why. Thousands love his brand of New Wise Conservatism, and you will too. The New Wise Conservatism Show with Robert Garding, Saturdays at 4 Eastern, 3 Central on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America. Thank you very much for being along. I have been talking, and I really would like to know what you think about this. You know, when we talk about Cleveland, when we talk about people like John Wayne Gacy, when we talk about people like Jeffrey Dahmer, you know, as far as the death penalty is concerned, we may as well talk about it. I'll tell you what I think. I would love to hear what you think. 718-305-7176. There are some crimes and there are some criminals that cry out for the death penalty, that really nothing except the death penalty will work. In my view, Kermit Gosnell, the Philadelphia abortion murderer, he is in that category. He knew exactly what he was doing. he had a plan. If the baby is born alive, I will murder it. There's no question about it. In his case, I think the death, there is no question about his guilt. Absolutely none. Jody Arias is in the, she was convicted of first degree murder today in Arizona, in case you were not aware. I thought maybe we could chat about her later on. But as far as these three Castro brothers in Cleveland are concerned, if they killed one of their victims, one of those poor girls that were kidnapped, if they killed any of the children that were born by the other women, the girls that they raped after they kidnapped them, I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry. You do not deserve to breathe the same air as the rest of us. There is no way around it. Look, the death penalty, as far as I'm concerned, there are only two valid arguments against the death penalty. Number one, should government have that much authority to end the life of somebody if that person has committed a heinous capital crime? That's kind of a rhetorical question. I'm not sure government should. The other one is, what if we're wrong? Have innocent people been executed? Yes, they have. There is no question about it. Asked and answered. There are innocent people who have been put to death. There have been several hundred people over the last 10 or 15 years that have been exonerated by DNA. Many of them were on death row. And if you're going to impose the death sentence, you must be absolutely certain. It cannot be proof beyond a reasonable doubt. It has to be absolute, incontrovertible proof beyond any doubt whatsoever. In the case of the Castros, frankly, I think that applies. In the case of John Wayne Gacy, no question, it applied. He was executed. In the case of Jeffrey Dahmer, Dahmer was given a life sentence without parole. The inmates took care of him. They killed him. You know, inmates in prisons, apparently, you know, apparently there's some kind of, I've never been in prison, there's some kind of an honor code about, you know, where you fall in the pecking order, that's a bad term, in the hierarchy of, you know, inmates. If you are a cop killer, or if you are in jail because you beat up a cop or something like that, you are at the top of their pecking order. They apparently will generally leave you alone. If you're a child molester or a child rapist or something like that, you are at the bottom of the pecking order, and they will not leave you alone. And I think once the Castros go to the Ohio State Penitentiary, which I think is in Mansfield, the old Ohio State Penitentiary was the stand-in for Shawshank Prison. Okay, that wasn't filmed in Maine. It was filmed in Ohio. And that was the prison that was called Shawshank in the movie. But in this case, there are some crimes, there are some criminals that just cry out for the death penalty, and nothing else will do. 11 minutes before the top of the hour, this is Radio Free America. More of your calls and more on the Cleveland House of Horrors coming up, so don't go away.
Nurse, I need you to apply pressure to the head wound until I can get to it. I'm concerned she's lost too much blood.
Oh, no.
You in the corner, who are you? You're not supposed to be here.
She's my girlfriend, Doctor.
You need to wait out in the waiting room.
Please, Doctor, I want to stay with her.
Look, she's been badly injured. So if you want to do what's best for her, you need to let us do our work.
Please, Doctor, she has to be okay. I didn't mean to do this. I love her.
Wait a second. You were the driver?
Yes, but I didn't mean to. I swear, we went to dinner. I was just buzzed. I only had a few drinks.
Just buzzed? Why didn't you tell us that? In that case, your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great. You want to get out of here?
I can't believe this. Really, doctor? She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Today, you ate Greek yogurt. You took the train. You wondered why people spend so much time reading celebrity blogs. You read a celebrity blog. You planned a workout. You skipped it. You did all the things that one normally does the day before a devastating earthquake shakes the community to the ground. You never know when the day before is the day before. Prepare for tomorrow at ready.gov/today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it. You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Welcome back, everyone. About 9 minutes before the top of the hour, Duke Brooks here on Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. That little piece of bumper music, of course, comprising the single greatest guitar riff in the history of rock and roll. That is While My Guitar Gently Weeps by George Harrison on the White Album by the Beatles. But the lead guitar on that cut was actually played by Eric Clapton. It's not clear why Clapton stood in for Harrison that day at the famous Abbey Road Studios. I have heard some people, oh man, George had been on a serious acid trip the day before and he just couldn't. There are other people who are also rock and roll experts that have said that isn't true. George and Eric Clapton were best friends, and Eric Clapton said, is it okay if I sit in? And George said, hey, man, go for it. But anyway, I digress. We have been talking a little bit, you and I, about the Cleveland situation with the three girls that apparently a total of four girls disappeared from a 3 or 4 block area in Cleveland, like between 8 and 12 years ago. Three of them escaped from the house on Monday, apparently, and the authorities are wondering about the fourth one, and they are going through that house. And those three morons, the Castro brothers, who have no business being in this country in the first place. Oh, are they immigrants from some Spanish-speaking country? Wow. Gee, you're kidding. I'm shocked to find that out. Can you imagine? Unbelievable. But I digress. They're in deep doo-doo right now, and they ought to be. You know, they ought to be. If someone is... You know, if you commit a crime of that nature, if there is no doubt at all about the accused person's guilt, if there is doubt such as, well, there's no weapon, there's no body, there is only circumstantial evidence, I got to be honest with you, no matter what the evidence is, no matter what the crime was, you cannot put someone to death for that. You just can't. That's wrongful, okay? There was no question about John Wayne Gacy. There was no question about Richard Speck. There was no question about Jeffrey Dahmer. There was no question about that idiot in Florida, both of them. Ted Bundy and Eileen Wuornos, there's no question about it. They got what they deserved, absolutely no doubt. If there is any doubt at all, you can't put the person to death. If you don't have DNA, if you don't have something like a security camera video footage, if you don't have that stuff, or in the case of Tom Capano, guy in Delaware, he's a guy, this was around 1999, something like that. The guy had been a prosecutor. The Capano family in Wilmington, Wilmington's the largest city in the state by a long shot, it's way up north. He was married, but he was carrying on affairs with multiple women. One of them was a girl named Anne Marie Fahey, who was a secretary in then-Governor Tom Carper's office. Tom Carper was the governor of Delaware then. He is now one of the two U.S. senators from Delaware. In fact, we're going to be hearing not too long from now from Kevin Wade and his excellent feature. It's really one of the most well-written features I've ever heard on radio. It's, you know, the writing is beautiful. It's brilliant. And Kevin does a great job in his Kevin ran against Tom Carper for the U.S. Senate last year in November. And Tom Carper's name has been synonymous with Delaware politics for about, 175 years or something. I think that Tom Carper and Caesar Rodney were probably friends. I think Tom Carper may have known Thomas Jefferson and Ben Franklin personally. I don't know. But in any event, Tom Capano murdered Anne Marie Fahey. And he shot her and killed her, and he stuffed her body into a cooler, a freezer chest, you know, the big kind that you would take on a, like if you're going out fishing for 2 days, you know, that kind of thing, and cut a hole in it, and he dumped her into the water. And I guess months later, a fisherman found the chest, and I think there was some evidence of DNA, of Anne Marie's DNA, inside the chest, in the freezer chest, and that's how they convicted him. They had I don't remember if they had a weapon, but they did not have Anne Marie's body because she had been eaten by the sharks. I mean, seriously, that's what happened to the poor girl. In a case like that, absolutely no question about it. I think that Capano was given life without parole. He appealed. He was a lawyer. You know, his family, it owns a huge construction development company. They own all kinds of buildings and real estate. And they own there are two restaurants up there in the northern part of Wilmington called the Charcoal Pit, northern part of Delaware. And they own those. And, you know, I've got to be honest with you, the Charcoal Pit, off the scale, amazing. If you're an American and you can't get you don't like the kind of good meal they give you at the Charcoal Pit, you're not really an American at all. It's the way I look at it, but I digress. But anyway, they convicted Capano. His appeals failed. He was given life in prison. He died in prison, which is appropriate. In that case, there was a scintilla of doubt, no question about it, and he should not have been given the death penalty. But in a case like the three Castro brothers, you know, as I mentioned, Ted Bundy, Eileen Wuornos. I had a close encounter with Eileen Wuornos back in, I think, in 1980 or something like that. I'm going to have to leave that thing. Can't stand these audio pop-ups on the internet. You know, I kept the Royals at the Orioles game in the background, and you know, all of a sudden, there they are. It's a pop-up. You know, a pop-up ad. It was, I think, 3-0 Orioles in the second or third, whatever it was. Anyway, we are coming up on the top of the hour. We're going to talk a little bit about Jody Arias and a whole bunch of other things coming up, so don't go away.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Oh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
My name is Dale Pazinski. I'm 19 years old, and this is how I live United. I've always been kind of a computer geek, and I found a way to use those skills to help the homeless in my community. For people facing hard times, computer skills and a basic resume are so important. It may seem like a small thing, but it makes a huge difference in people's lives. So with United Way, I created a program where I work with the homeless. Together, we go through their whole job history, write a resume, and then save it on the very own USB drive. We provide workbooks and training certificates. I even budgeted for cupcakes so we can celebrate as a class when one of our people gets a job. That's huge. When somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." That's what living United feels like to me. My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
America on conservativenationradio.org, conservative radio done right. And for this evening, hey, knock on wood, my hat's off to BTR because things are actually working this evening. Quick, somebody get out the record books. About 3 minutes after the top of the hour, Duke Brooks here. This is Radio Free America. You know, today was Benghazi Testimony Day. Also, you know, Jody Arias, that murdering, slashing, venomous, insane berserker chick out in Arizona, she got convicted of first-degree murder today. She stabbed her boyfriend, some poor dude named Travis Alexander, stabbed him 20 times in the shower, slit his throat from ear to ear, shot him. She at first said, "Oh, no, it wasn't me. I was in another state." Then she said, actually, I was there, but it was a bunch of armed robbers that came in. Then she said, no, it wasn't really armed robbers. It was actually me, but I don't remember anything about what happened. I mean, so anyway, she got convicted of first-degree murder this afternoon. And when they pulled the jury and they found that some of the jurors were in favor of first-degree murderous felony or felonious murder, something with premeditation, with aggravating circumstances. Some others were not. And I thought, okay, well, if they are split on those particular things, then she's probably not going to get the death penalty. However, there were analysts on TV who are lawyers, and apparently they were familiar with Arizona law, and they said, yes, she is eligible for the death penalty. there is absolutely no question, no doubt that Jody Arias murdered Travis Alexander. All right? In this case, in my view, the death penalty should apply. You know, I mean, I don't know what they have. Almost everybody has a lethal injection now. I think there are only three or four states that have the electric chair. I don't think anybody has the gas chamber anymore. Gas chamber, you know, I know a couple of things about capital punishment. Actually, I do. I've read about this a little bit. The gas chamber is a very, very complicated and extremely dangerous method of executing people. And I say dangerous for this reason. If there is a leak in the seals that allows the cyanide gas to leak out, they always have a couple of physicians standing by. Nevada had the gas chamber for a long time. California had the gas chamber for a long time. Maryland had it for a long time. But they, you know, the witnesses, the guards, the executioner, who is, you know, often in movies they'll have like The Green Mile or that movie by Clint Eastwood, Changeling. The Changeling with, what's her name, Angelina Jolie, you know, the one that looks like a walking skull. You know the one I'm talking about. I think that's her name. But she did a great job as an actress, and it was a great movie. But they, if the cyanide gas leaks out of the gas chamber, they have hypodermics with adrenaline in them, which works as an antidote to cyanide, that they would have to, you know, administer it to everybody that was outside the chamber. I mean, it is very, it is dangerous. And it is complicated. Basically, what they do to make cyanide gas is they have a vat which is filled with sulfuric acid, and they have a couple of egg-shaped, a little smaller than an egg, but kind of shaped like an egg. Called crystals of naphtha, which I forget the chemical, but in any event, when the naphtha is put into the vat of acid, the gas that forms is cyanide gas. And cyanide gas has a smell that is a peach blossom and almond. It smells like peach blossom and bitter almond. Okay, in fact, all right, now this is an aside. You know, by now I'm famous for asides, I guess, or infamous. I don't know which. Any Genesis fans out there? I mean, I'm talking about old Genesis with Peter Gabriel, like The Lamb Lies Down on Broadway Genesis. The song Back in New York City. It's not Back in New York City. I think it's Broadway Melody of 19. So, you know, one of the songs on the album, one of Peter Gabriel's lines is, Carol Chessman sniffs the air and leads the parade. He knows, in a scent, you can bottle all you made. There's a smell of peach blossom and bitter almond. There's Howard Hughes in blue suede shoes. Anyway, Carol Chessman was this dude in California that was executed in the gas chamber in 1960 because he had raped a couple of women. And what he did is he would pull them over at night on deserted roads with a car, and he, at gunpoint, would force them to perform oral sex on him He didn't kill any of them, but they identified him. And back then, rape in California was a capital offense, and he was put to death in the California gas chamber, I think in 1959 or 1960 or something. They made a couple of moves. You know, Hollywood's, let him live. And that's so eventually they reduced the number of charges that were eligible for the death penalty. But the gas chamber is extremely complicated. There are many things that can go wrong. You know, they often make movies about where executions take place, like Green Mile, and they have the guard throwing the switch, or the film The Changeling with Angelina Jolie, is directed by Clint Eastwood, I think. And it was actually a very good movie about a case that took place in California in the late 20s or early 30s that had everything in it that Hollywood just loves. It had incompetent and inept police that were trying to, it was just bizarre. An amazing movie. Not the movie with George C. Scott and Melvin Douglas called Changeling. That was different. This is one that came out 5 or 6 years ago. And in the movie, a murderer, I think this case was referred to at the time as something like the Chicken Coop Murders or something. And it was some guy that had a chicken farm in California. He was going, he would kidnap young boys and do horrible things to them and then kill them. And the Angelina Jolie character was the mother of a boy who disappeared. And anyway, the real murderer was eventually caught, and they had a scene in the movie where he was going to be hanged. And in the movie, they had a regular prison guard moving the lever handle to open the trap. That's not what happens. That is not what happens. The executioner is not a guard on the staff. In Virginia, the executioner is a retired prison guard, but he is not a guard on the staff. I once read a book a long time ago that was called 20,000 Years in Sing Sing by Warden Lewis E. Laws. And he explained in the book, this was written in the 20s or the 1930s, you know, during the Depression or something. And he wrote in the book that the state electrocutioner, the executioner for New York State, was an electrician who was also, I think, a retired policeman in New York. He's a civilian. And generally speaking, the executioner will arrive at the prison. He wears civilian clothing. Many hours before the execution, he comes in unobtrusively. He's not noticed. Nobody's like, oh, look, there he is. And very often the executioner will wear a hood or a mask to disguise his identity. I understand that. I understand that. But it's not just some, you know, it isn't some guard that's giving, yeah, you go ahead and turn the switch today. But in any event, I think, you know, Jodi Arias may get the death penalty, and Arizona might still be on gas chamber or the chair or something. I don't know. Chances are they're on lethal injection. Texas put somebody to sleep, put somebody to death last night using lethal injection. The guy was a drug dealer, and he had shot and killed another drug dealer, I think in Waco. And he was executed for it. You know, I think that's fair. And it's three chemicals, and they sent in the first one. The guy yawned. He closed his eyes. He then began snoring. The guy was asleep. Then they put in the other two chemicals, and that was it. I wonder if it should really be that humane. But, you know, anyway, I digress. 14 and a half minutes after the hour. Listen, this is going to surprise you. It's going to shock you, okay? There are actually conservative headbangers. You know, a headbanger is a heavy metal guy. We've got one of them here at conservativenationradio.org. He's actually a great guy, and in my opinion, hey, I'm just the program director here. What do I know? He's the best broadcaster we've got, and his name is Christopher Manti. Now, Christopher's show, which is called the Christopher Manti Show, can you believe it? It comes in now at a new time. It is at 5 p.m. Eastern, which is 4 p.m. Central Time, every Friday night. You got to check it out for a fresh take on conservative thought, modern America, the threat of Sharia, and that weird, wild, wacky, wonderful world of Washington, D.C., and a little heavy metal rock and roll thrown in for good measure. The Christopher Manti Show, which we could have easily just called it eponymous, Fridays at 5 p.m., 4 p.m. Central on conservativenationradio.org. Conservative radio done right. 15 minutes after, well, coming up on 16 minutes after the hour, this is Radio Free America. 718-305-7176 is the number. Duke Brooks is the name. Radio Free America is the show. ConservativeNationRadio.org is the website. The message is real. We control the frequency. We control, you know, all that stuff. In any event, hey, give me a shout, you know. Give me a call, 718-305-7176, and let's chat about a couple of things, you and I. I know you've got some thoughts on things, and you should, because there's a lot of things out there. As far as poor Jody Arias is concerned, I say poor Jody Arias. I got to be honest with you. Listen, I'm a guy. I'm a straight guy. I'm a guy who likes good-looking girls. If you've ever seen my girlfriend, you will understand that I like good-looking girls because my girlfriend is she's pretty damn good-looking. In fact, I sent a picture of she and I that was taken in 2009 out to one of my Mensa buddies out in Las Vegas. And he sent me back an email, and he said she is gorgeous, and she is. But in any event, Jody Arias, good grief, I didn't even know she was in the room. I swear, I didn't know. You know, I think I spoke to a buddy of mine in Kentucky today, and I said, you know, I got to be honest, I think Jody Arias is actually very attractive. I know she's a murderess, but I think she's attractive. And he said to me, no, I don't, after what she did. And I'm like, well, that's not the point. I know what she did. I know what she did. I still just think she's good looking, and I know a lot of other, you know, a lot of people would be swayed by that. I'd like to think if I were ever on a jury that I would not be swayed by it. You know, I would just like to think that. I would hope that I would be able to keep my objectivity, and no matter what she looked like, if she was innocent, that I would acquit her. And if she were actually guilty, I would convict her. That's just what I think. Anyway, it is about 18 minutes after the hour. We're going to take a quick break. More of your calls are coming up. Don't go away.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
It feels like you're frozen, petrified. You're struggling with your mortgage payments. The bills begin to pile up. Not knowing what to do, you do nothing at all. And that's the worst thing you can do. Because if you take action, if you do something about your mortgage problems, you're far more likely to get the most positive outcome. Making Home Affordable is a free government program. Call 888-995-HOPE to talk one-on-one with a housing expert about the options that are right for you. Real help, real answers, right now. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov and do something about your mortgage problems. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Sure, humans can be a little weird at times, but take it from me, I'm a dog. And a person is about the best thing that can happen to a shelter pet.
So if you want to learn how you can be that person, get down to your local pet shelter or visit the shelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back. Sorry about the microphone noise there, but I just had to adjust it. Hey, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. You know, what can I tell you? Just about 20 minutes after the hour, that little piece of bumper music, the fantastic Electric Light Orchestra from the album Out of the Blue off Concerto for a Rainy Day, Summer and Lightning. I've got to be honest with you. I've loved that song for 35 years or something. It is just I absolutely love that song. Anyway, we have been talking a little bit about Jodi Arias, and I was watching it this afternoon around 20 to 5 when the jury came back in and they convicted her of first-degree murder. That surprised a lot of courtroom and legal observers. She tried to present that she was battered and all that kind of stuff, but obviously she was a woman who had and has some very, very, very serious psychiatric problems. She did not plead insanity. Don't know why. That idiot from the Aurora Theater shooting, that goofball, the guy with the orange hair and Joker and everything, he's trying to change his plea from not guilty to guilty by reason of insanity. No matter what, he's never going to get out from behind bars again. Jodi Arias is never going to get out from behind bars again. The three Hispanic Castro brothers they're done, at least two of them are. And that's the right thing. But if the circumstances are absolutely clear, if the crime was first-degree murder, which in most states means with premeditation, you know, there are some crimes and there are some criminals that just cry out for the death penalty. I mean, seriously. Very often there are left-wing groups in this country like the Southern Poverty Law Center and that kind of thing, and Amnesty. You know, I think in China last year, in 2012, in China, apparently there were something like over 4,300 executions of people. I mean, yeah, okay. China is a country that is approximately four times the size of the United States. But in the United States in 2012, I think that there were only about 320 executions. I might be off a little bit, but it is not 30% of the number that there was in China based on the idea that we have 30% of the world's population. Listen, China is the execution capital of the world. There are Americans that call Texas and Alabama the death belt and all that kind of stuff. I always wonder why they're not out protesting in front of the Red Chinese embassy. You know, they're protesting in Huntsville. Of course, the fact that that guy was executed last night, that means that there is now an opening on death row in Huntsville, and people that work for CNR need to kind of be aware of that because, well, you know what happens, you know. But in any event, the Chinese will execute people for what they call economic crimes. In other words, if you embezzled money, or if you were involved in illegal currency trading, or if you made profits that other people just don't like, okay, they'll put you to death. And in China, for quite a while, the preferred execution method has been a pistol shot in the back of the head. I mean, that's how the Chinese do it, you know. Now, I saw something on the internet like 2 or 3 years ago, and here was a picture of this big black van, and the deal was that this was to be the national execution van, and they would drive it to a place, to the prison where prisoners were to be executed, and I guess they would put them in the back and give them a lethal injection or something. It's almost, in a way, it's reminiscent of the way capital punishment was carried out in France from the 1780s until the 1970s. And in France, if you were convicted of murder and you were condemned to die, they would bring the guillotine to the location in the town as close as they could get it to where the murder took place, and it was done in public, and they would put you on the guillotine, and they would lower the lunette over your neck, and then Anatole Diebler, or one of his assistants or relatives, would pull out that pin, and the blade would come down, and that was it. You don't believe me? There is a website. I can actually hear my girlfriend Linda sitting in the same room rolling her eyes. Okay? I can hear her rolling her eyes. There is a website. Yes, thank you, hon. You're free and complete liberty to call in, by the way. There is a website. It is called boisdejustice.com, 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 the Timbers of Justice in French, which is a name. It's a French colloquialism for the guillotine. And, you know, if you're a mature adult and you want to see something that is just really horrific, okay, I know the guy that put it together. I know the guy. He's an American of French descent, but he put this website together, and he has. There is a film that was made of an execution in Paris, I think in 1938 or 39, and it is really something. And he has a whole big, you know, he knows all about the guillotine. Anyway, the French do not use the guillotine anymore. They don't have capital punishment there. And it's a shame. I think that there are times when capital punishment is absolutely called for. It's not a question of a deterrent. And you know, if the electric chair or the gas chamber or the scaffold or, you know, lethal injection, if that doesn't deter people from committing infamous and heinous crimes, well, what does that say about everything less? Like, you know, 20 years to life. What does that say? I mean, seriously, please. All right. You know what this means, don't you? We are, in fact, in the 150th anniversary of the Civil War. Now, last week was the 150th anniversary of the Battle of Chancellorsville, which is one of the most celebrated battles of the war. Like almost virtually every battle in the Eastern Theater up to that time, it was a ridiculous defeat for the Union. Joe Hooker got the daylights beat out of him at Chancellorsville by Robert E. Lee and by Stonewall Jackson. 5 months or so prior to that, Ambrose Burnside got the daylights beat out of him by Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson. The Union was getting their butts kicked, but they turned things around. Anyway, May 8th, 1863 was a Friday, and this is from the Civil War Day by Day by E.B. Long and Barbara Long. Only a skirmish near Grove Church, Virginia, marked the day, Friday, May 8th, 1863, militarily. Lincoln issued a proclamation that being an alien would not exempt anyone from military service if he had declared his intention to become a citizen. Records are replete with names of those who claimed to be aliens to escape the draft. Jefferson Davis wrote to the leading citizens of Columbus, Mississippi, quote, "It would be needless to explain to you how far my ability falls short of my earnest desire, or to recount the causes which so often prevent me from affording the full protection to various portions of our common country, which is called for by every consideration that can animate manly and patriotic breasts or excite a public officer to greatest exertion," unquote. You know, I got to be honest with you, the way they wrote in Victorian times, it's almost incomprehensible. I just find it to be, you know, what on earth was Jefferson Davis trying to say? I think what he was trying to say is, hey, I'm sorry I haven't been able to keep the Yankees off of our territory. I think that's basically all he was trying to say there, but you know, he could have said it in a dozen words, and he used 80. I don't get it. Anyway, listen, you know, those of us here at conservativenationradio.org, we're very proud of some of the people that we have on the air with us in terms of sponsors and affiliates and associates, and we are associated with the most effective identity security and credit monitoring system that there is, and that's LifeLock. LifeLock, as you're aware, it's a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. Oh, no. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24/7, 365 a year. There really is nothing that comes close to LifeLock. So to protect your identity with LifeLock, go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner. That's conservativenationradio.org, and then just click on the LifeLock banner. I can tell you very definitely you will be glad that you did. 27 and a half minutes now before the top of the hour. We're going to take a quick break, more of your calls, and a whole hodgepodge of all kinds of stuff coming up, so don't go away.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
A boy born in Joplin, Missouri, was fascinated by anything with wheels and a motor. The odds of him going on to fascinate millions with his talent? 1 in 260,000. The odds of this born racer having 157 career top 10 finishes in NASCAR? 1 in 125 billion. But every driver seeks the pinnacle of their achievements. The odds of him winning both the Daytona 500 and the Brickyard 400 in the same year? 1 in 195 million. The odds of a child being diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I'm NASCAR driver Jamie McMurray, and my niece has autism. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Are you tired of your hard-earned money going to support liberal and progressive enterprises? I know I am. That's why I shop at thethirdlantern.com. This conservative marketplace ensures that your money is well spent and supports conservative entrepreneurs dedicated to making their products here in America. Look, I'm a business owner. I know how hard it can be to get your product out there. Get on his vendors list and it will help your sales. I have had his barbecue sauce. It is amazing. Check out the website, thethirdlantern.com. That's the number 3, RD, lantern.com.
Send your liberal friends there and tell them Hig and Resch sent you. TheThirdLantern.com. Put your money where your ideology is.
Well, welcome back. That was actually Carl Higbee. Carl hosts, along with Guy Reschenfaller, on Thursdays, The Sound of Freedom. Tomorrow night, Barbara Buffing and Bing Fisher are going to be sitting in for Carl, and Guy will be hearing from Barbara in a few minutes, and she'll be telling us what they're going to be talking about tomorrow night. Always interesting, always interesting. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America at conservativenationradio.org. Conservative radio done right. Duke Brooks is my name. I'm very glad that you could be along. We've been talking a little bit about capital punishment, about Jody Arias, who got convicted today. I mentioned earlier that I had had a close encounter in Florida with Eileen Wuornos back in 1981. And I remember, well, let's put it this way. I'm very glad that I was nice to her, even though I thought she was kind of like a horrid-looking poor thing. And because if I had not been, she probably would have killed me, because that's what she did. And I just, it is just unbelievable, because I remembered her, and then a couple of years later, there she was on TV. They had caught her, and she had murdered 5 or 6 men. You know, I kind of feel sorry. She was horribly abused, psychologically and physically and every other way, emotionally, when she was a kid growing up, I think in Ohio or Michigan or something. But the fact of the matter is, in modern civilization, you are still not supposed to murder people. It's that simple. We've got about 23 minutes before the top of the hour. And I mentioned Kevin Wade earlier, and the feature called Common Sense with Kevin Wade, which, you know, I've got to say, I love listening to it. I love putting it on the air. It is really an incredibly well-written, just amazingly well-written radio feature. And Kevin does a great job in delivery. So let's check out Common Sense with Kevin Wade. More coming up. Stay right where you are.
Huge economic problems loom on our horizon. The U.S. now owes over $16 trillion, and if it's not fixed, our nation will be ruined. Career politicians in Washington are focused on one thing, re-election. That's a big part of the problem. They avoid the needed tough decisions that risk their momentary popularity. Congressmen and senators, in office for decades, use taxation and spending to reward their friends and punish their enemies. Special interests fund the re-elections in return for a share in the plunder. These career legislators don't work in the best interests of the American people. A thought on how to correct this serious problem after this.
You're so annoying.
You're so annoying.
Stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop talking me.
Kids will spend 10 minutes copying everything their sibling says.
You're such a doofus.
You're such a doofus.
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. 2 minutes, twice a day. I have the time.
Mom!
A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ad Council.
Lifelong legislators are not what the Founding Fathers had in mind. The problems we now face were caused by these untouchable machine politicians, and they see no reason to solve the problems, as long as they get reelected. We can limit their terms with a constitutional amendment and let regular Americans solve the problems. That's just common sense. I'm Kevin Wade.
All righty. Thank you, Kevin. What a great guy. Kevin is a personal friend of mine. He ran for the U.S. Senate last year in Delaware. I was his communication director. And I'm just very, very glad that we we do have that feature. Incidentally, right now in the top of the sixth, Baltimore 5, Kansas City Royals 3. And we're going into the bottom of the sixth. And I, you know, listen, I'm an Orioles fan. I'm an Orioles fan. That's all there is to it. I'm not a baseball guy. I really don't know very much. I don't know nearly as much as some people do about baseball. I still, you know, I still do not understand the infield fly rule. Now, I went to school with kids in the first grade that understood the infield fly rule. Unbelievable. There are just some people that caught that sort of thing. I'm really not one of them. I hope you had a nice weekend. I had a pretty good one. I went to my 40th high school reunion on Saturday in Philadelphia. Class of 73, there were about 75, 73 or 70, whatever it is. People in my class, all boys school. It's not anymore. Now it's co-ed. Penn Charter is now co-ed. And it was really great. There were about 18 of us there, which is about one quarter of the class. I was just, I recognized everybody right away, except for two people. Frank Toscano, I didn't recognize Frank right away. And Wayne Van Hest, he has changed dramatically. Everybody else was like, oh, yeah, you know. I was just very, very, very glad to see everybody. I love all my classmates, even the ones that, I mean, who doesn't have some conflicts with classmates in high school? But I love all those guys now. And it was terrific to see them. It was a wonderful thing. And I, you know, it's interesting. I read somewhere, and this is true. There's not much question about it. Women relate to other women based on relationships and very often on family. You know, when I speak with ladies in my family or even Linda or anyone, and they're talking about their, you know, my second cousin's neighbor's uncle-in-law's brother's son, they just have these relationships, and the more complicated, you know, 12th cousin, 9 times removed or some nonsense, they just have it down. It's like ice cold to them. I have no clue. Maybe it's because I'm an only child and, you know, I never experienced brothers-in-law or anything like that. I don't know. But with men, we'll relate to other guys based on shared experiences. And as far as I know, only one guy from my graduating class went into the military, and that was my friend Joe Lochran, who went in because he had an ROTC scholarship at Princeton, and he served, I think, 7 years as a lieutenant in the U.S. Army, and they sent him to Fort Huachuca, Arizona. And while he was there, he got his master's in journalism from the University of Arizona. Then when he got out of the Army, I think he got his his MBA from Harvard. Joe is a brilliant, smart guy. I mean, he's got 20 IQ points on me, and I'm in Mensa. I mean, he is out there. So he and I carpooled up. And because he has a summer house down here in southern Delaware, and my house is just like on the way. It's on Route 1 on the way. So he stopped, picked me up, and we drove up there together. Now, Joe's a great guy. He's conservative. There were only two, maybe three conservatives in the class when we graduated, me, Joe Lochran, and maybe I think one might maybe Pete Emmons was. I think Pete Emmons was. But now, when I was up there on Saturday, it was amazing. It seemed that I was surrounded by conservatives. course, we're all 58 years old at this point. And when people get older, they have a tendency to begin to see things a little more clearly. At least that's the way that I look at it. It was a wonderful time. I hope that you went to your high school reunion because it, you know, it's just a great thing to do. It is just a wonderful thing to do. Listen, you know, if you're listening to us now, and I know that there's a bunch of people out there listening, I can presume that you are a conservative, which means that you love our country and you love our Constitution just like those of us here at CNR.org do. Now, presuming that's the case, you're going to want to have access to a supply depot to get everything you need, from books and bumper stickers to patriotic T-shirts and flags. We've got your pipeline to that great stuff, and it's right here at conservativenationradio.org. Just go to our website, conservativenationradio.org, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That's going to take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all of your conservative revolution needs. Wave your flag, proudly display your love for America and the conservative revolution starting right now. There's no time like the present. Just go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution, real conservatism for real conservatives. Just about 13 and a half minutes until the top of the hour. Going to take a quick break. More is coming up, so don't go away.
Dave, what are you doing?
Just sending a gift to Dave 2037.
Who?
Me in the future. I save a little money from every paycheck as a gift to Dave 2037, so he can spend it on things like anti-gravity boots or a hologram Doberman, something cool like that. I think Dave 2037 deserves it. He worked hard. What are you getting Steve 2037?
Dave, what are you doing?
Just sending a gift to Dave 2037.
Who?
Me in the future. I save a little money from every paycheck as a gift to Dave 2037, so he can spend it on things like anti-gravity boots or a hologram Doberman, something cool like that. I think Dave 2037 deserves it. He worked hard. What are you getting Steve 2037?
I guess I was thinking Steve 2037 would just fend for himself.
Well, all right, but don't expect to be borrowing my anti-gravity boots.
You want to have money in your future? You got to start saving now. Putting some money from every paycheck into a savings account or contributing to your 401k can make a big difference later. Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. For free ideas and easy ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org.
Hey, let's just hope Steve 2037 doesn't get his hands on a cool time machine, because he is going to come back here and knock some sense into you.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
All right, class. Let's hear what everyone did this weekend. Jill?
Well, I raised my older sister to a big oak tree. It was at least 100 years old. My mom said I must have set a record or something. And then we went down by a stream and perched up on this huge rock and saw all of these little minnows swimming around way below us. And then I rescued my little brother from an evil slug king who was guarding him at the bush fortress. And my sister and I brought him back to our super twig fort for safety. And then we all laid out and told stories until it got dark. And the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Where were you, Jill?
Yeah.
We went to the forest. It's not that far away. Anyone want to come this weekend?
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week and find the fun, adventurous you. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
All right, everybody. About 10 and a half minutes now. I love the Electric Light Orchestra so much, I just can't get enough of them. 718-305-7176 is the number. This is Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. And Is anybody here an F. Scott Fitzgerald fan? I want to see a show of hands, please. Anybody a fan of The Great Gatsby? There is a new version of The Great Gatsby that is coming out. Apparently, it breaks into theaters in a couple of days with Leonardo DiCaprio as Gatsby and a bunch of other people whose names I can't remember because, frankly, I'd never heard of any of them before. I think, didn't Mia Farrow play Daisy in the Robert Redford version or something, I think? I don't know. Did you ever see it? Did you know? Linda is drinking a root beer right now, which is the same as do not disturb me or I will kill you. Anyway, all I have done is read about this upcoming version. I think Leonardo DiCaprio is very good. I think he's a very good actor for a young white punk, you know. But apparently the music in the new edition of The Great Gatsby, which takes place in 1922, year my dad was born, apparently the music is by Jay-Z and Beyonce. Whoever that, Beyonce, Linda says. Okay. That should give you an idea of how really up to speed I am on all of this pop culture, especially rap and hip-hop and boogaloo and all this nonsense that passes for music today, which none of it is. Rap music as the score in The Great Gatsby? I don't get it. What, you know, this is it's just one more sign that the apocalypse is nigh and that Hollywood has absolutely no connection with reality in any way whatsoever. Here's another example. Today is May 8th. Around the 12th of May, of June rather, which will be a Wednesday, that's five Wednesdays from now, I will be having as a guest on my show a man named John Parshall. John Parshall has, a few years ago, wrote and published a book called Shattered Sword, The Untold Story of the Battle of Midway. Battle of Midway was the single most decisive, pivotal, important, and spectacular naval victory in the history of naval warfare. The United States beat the Japanese fleet to an absolute pulp on June 4th, 1942, and that was the beginning of the end of the Japanese Navy and Japan's war effort in World War II. He told me the other day that the same guys in Hollywood that made the TV series called Band of Brothers, which I thought was very well done, and the follow-on that was called The Pacific, which did not get very good reviews at all, especially after that idiot Tom Hanks opened up his big, fat, liberal commie mouth and said he thought World War II was a racist. I mean, seriously, please. Is there anybody in Hollywood that ever thinks about anything other than racism? Please, come on. Anyway, that group of guys is getting ready to do a movie about the Battle of Midway. Jonathan Parshall is the foremost living expert on the battle, and they didn't hire him as a technical historical advisor. I can't believe it. It's just absolutely amazing. I need a dose of sanity, and Barbara Buffing, my dear friend, it is up to you to deliver it. How you doing, hon?
Oh, my God, the pressure's on.
No,
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
You know, I'm fine. You are, without a doubt, the rock of conservativenationradio.org, because whenever somebody has an issue, you are always there to solve it for us. God bless
you. Well,
you
know, teamwork. Show must go on.
That's exactly right. So what are you and the Big Meister going to be talking about tomorrow night in the stead of Guy and Carl?
I haven't the foggiest idea.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Beautiful. But let me ask you this. What did you think? Well, you were at work today, so you probably didn't get to watch the Benghazi.
Oh, but I did.
Oh, you did? Oh, okay.
Well, but I did.
What did you think?
I think that this administration really needs to get out of town or go to jail.
Agreed.
They are, you know, I was just doing flash mob on actually Huffington Post because they have posted that, you know, it's just really a witch hunt, blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
But anyway, people are in there still saying that it's Bush's fault.
There you go.
I know. So I've been having a little fun doing that, like letting these people know they need to learn the truth. They're still looking for Hillary to be president in 2016. And I'm like, are you serious? She was incompetent to be the Secretary of State, and you really want her to run this country? If she's incompetent for that, yeah, she did.
She lied under oath, just like her husband did back in 1997.
Oh, imagine
it
that.
It runs in the family.
Absolutely. But they also, Hillary knew at least 2 o'clock in the morning that it was a terrorist attack. And I'm talking Benghazi time. That's what was stated today. So it's going to get really deep, but not soon enough because Obama also lied to the UN because he knew at that point that it was a terrorist attack. They knew right away that it was a terrorist attack because they were told.
Of course they did.
And yeah. And this is all just coming to light, so thank God for whistleblowers.
So
we're probably going to touch quite a bit on that. But then again, you never know what's going to come out of the mouths of me and Uncle Bing. So you'll just have to tune in to find out.
All right, Barbara, calm down, hon. Everything's going to be all right.
I just think it's hysterical.
Yeah, I think, listen, who knows what's going to happen between, you know, during the next 22 hours before you and Bing go on the air for Carl and Guy, and it's always going to be terrific. I can't wait. You guys are going to say something, and I know I'm just going to kind of have to chime in, but we really look forward to hearing you tomorrow night. And Christopher Manti on Friday. It's gonna be a great broadcast week here on conservativenationradio.org. You're gonna need a vacation, at the end of the week because of the amount of duty that you have been pulling. God bless you, and thank you for doing so. And I don't know if you're aware that conservativenationradio.org has an unlimited supply of Ruth's Chris Steakhouse gift certificates that we're going to be giving away to you?
Oh, really? Oh.
Well, no, actually, no, not really. But that would be very cool. How far you're Tar Heel? How far away from Cary, North Carolina, are you?
It's almost the next town over.
Oh well, there's a Ruth's Chris in Cary. You know what?
Yes,
those guys are on Sean. They were on Rush for a long time. We only have about 20 seconds left, but I might give them a call tomorrow and see if we can get some gift certificates and get on the air. You know, what do you think?
Okay. Hey, I think that sounds like a plan.
All right. Thanks for calling in, my friend. We will look forward to hearing you tomorrow night.
All right. Thanks.
See you soon. All right, folks, thanks for listening. Have a great night.